Hey guys, before we start this week's episode, I wanted to let you know that this episode will be for all of the men, women, and everyone in between to definitely just open your ears, be open to learning. We are bringing you guys an episode that a lot of you have asked for. And with the current climate going on, I think that we would do disservice to all of you by not having this conversation. So for the next hour, across from us, we do have professionals. We will be digging into everything regarding women's rights and what's going on with abortions. And of course, just our bodies and what the rights that are being taken away from us right now. So I'm excited. It's a Monday morning. We here, as always, it's Horrible Decisions. I'm your girl, Mandy.
Hi, I'm Weezy.
And we have two wonderful people here to join us in this conversation. Can you go ahead and introduce yourselves to our listeners and let them know why you guys are sitting across from us?
Hi, thank you guys for having us. I'm Lacey, and here with Danielle. I am kind of a newcomer to this work. I've been more deeply involved in the last year, but prior to that, I worked in media for like the last 10 years and really wanted to like help put the medicine in the sugar, and have recently transitioned into working in sexual and reproductive health and rights. And Danielle, actually, who you'll meet in a moment, I attended a meeting with her in January of 07. Of 17.
17.
Ooh, dating myself. I came to a meeting in my community, and she was speaking about, like, the, you know, post-Trump, like, what was going on, and she lit a fire under my ass, and I started to volunteer and become an advocate and eventually work for an organization that does this work. So here to talk about
everything.
Yes. Yes.
And Danielle, what is it that you do?
Hi. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you.
So I work for an organization called the National Institute for Reproductive Health. I am the vice president of political and government affairs, which is a lot to say with my very long first and last name as well.
Yeah, we heard VP girl.
Yeah. I gotta like gear up to do it in meetings. And what that means is NIRH is an organization that works at the state and local level to try to improve access to abortion and other reproductive health care. One of the things that I always clarify, and this is important for like the general public, but also people in the movement, we're a reproductive health and rights organization. Mm-hmm. So what that means is we focus on changing laws. With that comes culture change and community organizing, but it's all sort of with the premise of trying to change laws and policies. There is an additional movement called reproductive justice, which is what we try to use to inform the work that we do. Okay. But that is really a much more holistic movement designed to advocate for people to have children and families when they want to and where they want to, and for it to be safe and healthy for them to do that. And it's a movement that is created by and led by people of color, started by Black women primarily. So I always feel like I want to like clarify where we sit within the movement.
Well, I also want to touch on just kind of how hard I know that is, especially with the climate change. So on one of my flights, I don't remember what city I was going to, but I ended up watching On the Basis of Sex, mm-hmm. Which is about Ruth Ginsburg. If you guys watched that movie, it was literally a woman lawyer who took, I guess, as her law studies to go and change women's rights and kind of all of the outdated laws that are specific to gender, mostly women. So I just know that that's very hard to do. And before we start this conversation, I guess one of the things that you actually came in and said, before we start having the conversation, you said we need to touch on who has abortions.
Yeah.
Before we get into the stigma surrounding it, before we bring up any myths, and before we even talk about the shame surrounding it, we want to talk about who has abortions. So what is your, who has abortions? I mean,
yeah.
We do.
Same. The answer is sort of everyone. Abortion is extremely normal. There's not a ton of medical procedures in this society that we treat the way we treat abortion. Agreed. And by not a ton, I mean like none. Other than abortion, you don't have to go to a tonsillectomy clinic to get your tonsils removed. You go to the hospital,
right,
where you get the rest of your medical care. So the people who have abortions are of every age, of lots of genders.
It's some not men just have
women
abortions.
Who have abortions.
I like that.
Some men have abortions. Anybody who can become pregnant can have an abortion.
So how do men have abortions?
Trans people. Gender non-binary people, however they might identify.
Right.
People who, frankly, have an even harder time accessing medical care than women do, right?
Yep.
The statistic, it changes a little bit. It's 1 in 4, 1 in 5 women have had an abortion.
I saw 1 in 4 recently when I was looking it up. And whether it's 1 in 4 and 1 in 5, 5% difference, but, like,
yeah.
It's crazy how... I went online on our Twitter, like, the day the Georgia thing happened or whatever, mm-hmm. and I was like, I want men to send in your abortion stories. Mm-hmm. And I was really grateful for the men that stood by women and saying, like, hey, this happened to me, too. I mean, mm-hmm. we didn't get ourselves pregnant.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And a lot of times, men don't include themselves in this conversation mm-hmm. as far as the abortion experience goes, mm-hmm. as far as the emotions that go behind mm-hmm. it, the confusion, the financial worries. Like, mm-hmm. it's a two-part job, but only one person holds the baby. But
yeah.
We're lot supposed of those... to be, consider ourselves lucky if we get a ride to the clinic.
Right?
Right?
Right.
When, you're right, two people were involved in this.
Or even not only that, even the experience from the man automatically saying, well, are you going to abort it? So there's also the pressure that's mm-hmm. automatically given from the man. But mm-hmm. then I also know a lot of men who didn't feel like they were a part of the decision that was made.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the man has felt it from either side. So I think that that's very interesting. I wanted to get into, I guess, now that we know everyone is a part of the abortion conversation, I wanted to get into some of the myths.
Yeah.
And before we get into this, as you guys know, Weezy and I have both shared our abortion story on this show before. And I said something that I would like to possibly mend or correct. And as you guys know, this is a learning process for me with this podcast, with bringing people on, with learning, you know, more about a ton of things. So something that I said and something that I guess, and I don't even know how I learned it, and I guess you guys can make me unlearn it.
There's a lot of misinformation out there.
Is it misinformation that it is?
A lot.
So in the abortion episode, I did mention that there could be caused, fertility issues could be caused mm-hmm. with abortions. Mm-hmm. And Lacey was like, girl, I'm going to read you just a little bit. So what is the actual physical damage that can be done to the reproductive system if having an abortion, and if not, where did that come from?
So abortion is, like, exceptionally safe. It's one of the safest medical procedures out there.
Yeah,
it's safer than getting a root canal.
Seriously.
Abortion is exceptionally safe. That misinformation comes from the anti-abortion movement.
Mm.
And the anti-abortion movement is loud, and it is not concerned with the truth or accuracy in any real capacity.
Intentionally,
it's right?
It's all by design.
It's designed to scare you. And it's designed to make you question this decision that you've already decided is right for you, right? So abortion is exceptionally safe. When abortion is done in a safe setting,
right,
where it's legal,
yeah,
where providers are trained, where you're receiving abortion care the way you're receiving health care in general,
right,
abortion is exceptionally safe. When folks can access abortion earlier in pregnancy,
it's even safer.
Right?
Of course.
But of course, we've thrown up all these barriers to people accessing
besides
care.
Religion, what are the other tactics like you've seen used to make people guilt trip their abortion?
So I think there's a lot. The one thing I do just want to add before I address that, though, is abortion is significantly safer than childbirth. You are far more likely to die in childbirth than you are to die in an abortion.
Especially
if you are a Black woman. The rates of maternal mortality in the U.S. are astronomical.
That's the fucking name of the episode.
And
abortion is safer than pushing it out.
And for Black women, it's something like 12 times higher than for everyone else.
Just to elaborate.
12 times higher in New York City.
In New York State.
I was going to say, that's what I heard about New York, too. I heard it's higher in New York than anywhere else.
We're up there. It's not the highest in the nation, but it's high. Although, if you start breaking the numbers down even further, if you're a black woman giving birth in the South Bronx, it's basically the most dangerous thing you can do in the U.S.
Black women having babies in the hospital, complaining about issues, pain, doctors not listening to us. That's where the unsafe situations happen for black women, right? So
right. It's Serena Williams not being believed. And she's Serena Williams. Like, right. If she's not getting the literally best medical care in the world.
12 times is crazy.
Just a black woman just saying this doesn't feel right and a doctor just not believing her. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess, can I get that to the other spectrum? So if a white woman says, hey, this hurts, is she just being attended to more?
She's more likely to be believed, yeah.
Believed? But, like, we're not all just human bodies. The color of our skin doesn't change how our anatomy is working.
No, of course. Friends of mine,
sure doesn't.
Friends of mine who are having children, right? We're in our mid-30s. Like, we're always having conversations, like, whether they have a partner in the picture or not, like, bring an advocate in the room. Like, I know you guys had a doula episode, right?
Right.
But bring someone in the room who knows what you want, who knows that at a certain point during, you know, the birthing process that the physician can't come over and just, like, snip you because that's what he or she feels is the next step and that you've given your permission to have something done to your body.
And
or
by snip, she means an episiotomy, which is a cut in the skin between the bottom of your vaginal opening and your anus.
Oh, wow.
Just like,
not
big enough. Which is, I believe, Naya may have mentioned that she had that. We had a guest that mentioned that.
I don't
have
any friends that have a vaginal birth that didn't get snipped.
So, and there's a lot of...
Every single one.
...concern about that, right? Because oftentimes women will... And I'm not an expert on childbirth. I have not birthed a child. But also I'm in my mid-30s and spend a lot of time talking to people who have. And there's a lot of concern. It's much harder to heal from an incision than it is from a natural tear.
I hate when I talk about it. I feel it in my... I feel it.
Yeah, no, we're all clenching, I think, a little bit, right?
Wow, way to make your Kegels work.
And that's just, like, one thing in the, like, soup to nuts, like, process that of, like, what your wishes are, what you're consenting to. So, yeah, like overall, like, yes, black women definitely bear the brunt of this statistic, for sure. But if you know anyone who's pregnant, like, tell them to have an advocate. Everyone should have an advocate who knows their wishes.
While they're there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I like that.
So one of the other myths that I wanted to get on is that many people believe only young, irresponsible women seek to have abortions. Yeah. So I wanted to maybe go through some of the reasons why someone may want to have an abortion outside of them being young and irresponsible. I think that's a terrible title to put on a, you know, on any woman.
Well, so one in four women have had an abortion. There's four of us sitting in this room, and the number is already higher.
Yep.
Right?
Well, half this table did. Sorry, Lena.
Yeah, I mean,
I've had two abortions.
I've had one, so.
And I'll speak from my own perspective. I've had two abortions, and I am 39 years old. I am a product of absolute, like, AIDS panic. I grew up as a kid with just AIDS being the absolute specter of the most terrifying thing that can happen
100%,
to you. So I have a lot of, like, sex paranoia about that. I've never had the only... That's not true. I had unprotected sex on my wedding night. That is the only time...
Wait, always used a condom?
I have not had unprotected sex, and I've still had two abortions. Because birth control is not infallible.
I want to take a picture of your
face. Wait.
But, like, I really appreciate hearing that. I think it's, what, 88. Something percent.
I've had condoms break.
As far as, like,
I've had condoms break. We've had a condom.
Who hasn't had a condom break? 88. something percent. I don't know what it is, but
like, nothing is 100%. If you're having a lot of sex,
you're
upping your odds of something going wrong. I currently use a diaphragm for contraception because I wanted a non-hormonal method.
I don't use it.
And because...
Did the men not believe you in your experience? Like, were they like, oh, we used a condom? Did they, like, make you feel...
No, but they were, like, partners, like, long-term. And, like, they knew the condom broke.
Well, it's not only even the contraceptive, but, like, we even just had a recent conversation about the Plan B pill. And there is proven fact that for women over a certain weight, it's not as effective for...
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
So, and that was something for me. Like, I just lost almost 80 pounds in the last year, but that was important for me to get, you know, to my friends and to our listeners.
Is this a fact already?
Yeah. Because
we read it. It was saying that they were, it was like a testing
study. And I think it's only 160 pounds.
It's low.
I was going to say it was like 180 or something.
It's somewhere like a lot of people are over 200 pounds. Like, it's America.
I think the average weight of a woman was like 7 pounds away from what it was.
Yeah.
which is fucking nuts.
Crazy. Yeah.
And so people, contraception fails. Contraception isn't always available because you have a partner that won't use it, because you can't access it yourself, because you're assaulted, because of a whole host of reasons. People don't have a great understanding of their body.
100%.
And
education.
Well, not only that, they're timing things properly and aren't.
But a lot of people will even just go based off of their period coming, which in fact, you can still be pregnant and still be having a period.
My mom spotted. And I know. She said it wasn't a real period, but she's like, I definitely saw some blood. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. People like don't really know how their fertility cycle works.
Oh, great. Yeah.
There was just as a side note, there was just a thing, one of the fertility tracking apps, it was just released, was actually like paid for and sponsored. It stresses me
out. Wait, talk about it.
Yes,
wait,
it's not paid for and flow. It's
Femme or something.
Yes, it's with an F.
It's with an F, and it just came out that it was created by and paid for and tracked by anti-abortion.
Shut the fuck
forces.
Up. So this was an app that was created essentially to allow women to track their ovulation. Mm-hmm. And what it was is it was purposefully making the ovulation wrong.
I don't know that it was purposely doing anything wrong, but what it was taking that information and sending it back to an organization that was specifically trying to limit abortion rights. Which, at a time when we're seeing I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this, a complete dissolution of our government is really terrifying.
Yeah, shit. Yeah.
And not to get too Handmaid's Tale-y here, but like,
no, do it.
Also with like, you know, all of the how they were finding that they were tracking periods for like
for the girls in
migrant children,
the refugee girls.
What?
Scott Lloyd, who is the head of the Office of Refugee Resettlement, it's ORR. That might not be what it actually stands for. It's something like that.
Like in, the detention camps, had a spreadsheet of when these like
of all young of them teenagers when they were menstruating, if they were seeking an abortion, and was trying to prevent them from getting them. The Civil Liberties Union had to do like lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit.
So like, if they're tracking that information, how surprising is it that like an app that like you don't really know where it comes from, who made it, is tracking that data?
Told me my ovulation cycle. But after that, like, I mean, they sell the kit, like, in it, so you could figure it out. And then from there, you can make sure. But even, like, to this day, I use the app. I've been on the Rhythm Method for 3 years, haven't gotten pregnant. But one of my friends, a doctor we've had on, Dr. Kim, naturopathy doctor, she's like, even with your discharge, like, make sure if it says the fifth, check yourself and see if that's really coming out of you. Like, this is how women have done it for years. Like, fuck the app.
Right. Because your body is not. Yeah. A machine,
yeah,
right.
No,
which is what I said. Like,
I couldn't use your ovulation, like
hopping on planes every weekend.
Oh my god,
our
right?
Eating habits changing, all of that can affect when you get your period. So
Who's
around you? Oh, your period will match sometimes just even the women that are around you. So, like to me, the app thing, I've kind of always said, tell me.
It's a good like a gauge. I've never had it exact. It's always one or two days off.
Yeah,
but tracking the ovulation through the kit is what let me know.
It's just more of like a PSA for your listeners, like the things that we are using to collect our own data, like we're not the only people who have access to that information.
100%. So I wanted to get into now our vanilla shit for this week, and we're pretty much going to do a larger segment than normal for our vanilla shit, but I wanted to get into what we're facing now with the government and these bullshit ass state laws. And there are now 15 states who have went as far as to pass these abortion laws, and some that have made abortion criminal, as a criminal offense. Others who are making it a much shorter time frame in which you can actually have an abortion, which of course I believe when I was growing up, I lived in the state of Georgia, you couldn't get it after in like the third trimester, which is or the second trimester. It was at like after 5 months, you couldn't get it in Georgia. But right now, it's 6 weeks, which a lot of time, we have a monthly cycle. Like we just said, we can be a week off and still not be pregnant.
You may not even know you're pregnant.
We may not know in the 6 weeks. So I wanted you to have your little space sheet. and of course, one of the laws or one of the states that made the most fuss about this was Alabama recently.
So the first thing I want to start by saying is that abortionists technically at least, legal in all 50 states still.
Okay.
That is really important to know.
Don't panic.
For all of these states, it is legal. For all of these states that have passed these six-week bans in the last few months, none of them have gone into effect yet.
Good to know.
They are... There's a political strategy behind passing these laws that are that's aiming to get to the Supreme Court. So that's the key thing to know. If you are in Ohio or Mississippi or Georgia or Alabama, it is still legal for you to access abortion.
The belt states.
And there are people who are trying to help you access the abortion care you need. So that's really important. And I'll give you a full list of like all the resources. You can put it up.
And we'll definitely be posting that not only to our Patreon, but it'll be in the description of this episode.
So there's a bunch of places that there are laws about abortion, right, at the state level. All of this is done under the umbrella of Roe v. Wade, which is a Supreme Court decision. Yes. We will talk about like it as federal law, but it's not a law. It's a Supreme Court decision.
Mm-hmm.
This is the moment where I always clarify, I'm not a lawyer. I talk to lots of lawyers all of the time.
That's the problem with us. None of us being lawyers, we see these new articles of
and you're like, I don't know
bills.
What this means.
We don't know what it means, so I'm not gonna lie. I thought that it was kind of put into effect already, but good to know.
I'm not a lawyer, but I am a lobbyist, so I'm very concerned about the goings on of government, right?
Okay.
So, I also, NIRH is a nonpartisan organization. If I had a bunch of pro-choice Republicans to talk about, I would, but I don't. So,
I want your opinion on something, Danielle. I used to work with a woman that voted for Trump, and we would always sit and argue about it. And she said to me one day, you act like they can turn over Roe versus Wade. Like, you need to relax. And I want to know your opinion on that because we're watching all of this go on within the last 2 years of having a shitbag run the office. And I am curious to know what you think as far as Roe versus Wade goes and if that really could happen to us.
So, yes and no. Supreme Court decisions are unlikely to just be flipped over.
Yes.
And what Roe says is that you have the right to access an abortion up to 24 weeks or later than that if the life or health of the woman is in danger or in cases of fetal inviability. That is the standard of Roe and the subsequent cases that came after it, right? So that's like our national umbrella. What we think is going to happen is that states have been passing laws, and I don't think it's going to be any of these more recent laws. I think it's going to be ones that have already been passed that have been working their way through the court system and getting to circuit courts in an effort to get to the Supreme Court. And what I think we're going to see, and this is just sort of guessing, but like educated guessing, is a chipping away at access. So abortion will still technically be legal, but the states will be allowed to put in place so many barriers that you won't be able to access it. So,
as far as the cost, as far as
clinics
that
being
offer
able
it.
To be
okay.
open,
clinics being open if the patient specifically could be made available to have care, insurance issues.
Age, documentation status, right? All
like
of those
just start
things.
Putting rules in place. This is not new. These are things that in many of these states have been going on for years and years
or
been setting the stage for
getting the Supreme Court that we have now.
Yeah.
And as far as even just funding for like the organizations, I think we all know of Planned Parenthood, but even when Trump came into office, that was one of the number one, that was one of the first things he did was cut funding for that organization amongst other organizations, correct?
Sort of. There's already a prohibition on federal funding for abortion care. It's called the Hyde Amendment.
You guys brought up the Hyde Amendment on your last show.
Okay.
It's named after a guy named Henry Hyde, who said, I can't make it impossible for everyone to get an abortion, so I'll just make it impossible for poor women. Like, said it out loud. Said the inside part outside. And what that means is that Medicaid in most states can't cover abortion. In some states, like in New York, we put state dollars in to fund abortion for Medicaid patients.
But poor people
in New York can get
every state, though.
Abortion care.
Right.
So he didn't actually cut abortion funding. What he cut, or what he's trying to mess with, is funding for family planning, for contraceptive care, for sex ed, for all of the things around it, and saying, I'm cutting money to those terrible abortion organizations.
Wow.
Because he can't actually, there's no money for him to cut. He did implement, there's a thing called the global gag rule, which goes back and forth with the parties, which says when Republicans are in charge, they say that international organizations can't get U.S. aid dollars if they're going to talk about abortion. So, like, in foreign countries,
so
they're not allowed to
implement. So a huge political thing
so
on a global scale.
So it becomes a huge geopolitical issue. And he's trying to implement basically a domestic gag rule that says that organizations in the U.S., if they're going to provide or refer for abortions, also can't
or
get
claim
this
that they're
Title X dollars.
That's kind of an ongoing fight right
yeah,
now.
That's
yeah.
a lawsuit that's working its way up. So holy the answer shit. To the Supreme Court question is, like, it's not going to... It's. I don't think it's going to get overturned, but I do think that it's going to get chipped away at enough that the states will be able to block people from actually having meaningful access to care. So we have this, like, overarching umbrella of, like, the rights that Roe gives us. And then there's a bunch of states that had bans before Roe v. Wade, which passed in 1973.
Uh-huh.
So prior to 1973, they passed bans on abortion, which were then deemed unconstitutional by Roe. So if Roe were to be overturned, it would still be banned in those states.
We automatically.
Have automatically. There's a bunch of states that post Roe v. Wade passed what we call trigger bans, which is if Roe v. Wade gets overturned, then it becomes illegal in these states. So there's like six
Shut
of
up.
Those.
So they're already like, they were just preparing
for that?
Well,
they did
that
in like the late 70s.
Okay.
This has been done
this
for a while.
This has been, yeah.
There are states that have essentially total bans, but none of them are in effect. And these are the ones that we're hearing about in the news, right?
Okay.
Ohio, Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, Missouri.
The South.
Iowa, Kentucky, North Dakota.
Bible Belt.
Places that you okay. might expect. And then there's a bunch of places, and this is always really important for me to talk about, that are actually passing proactive expansions of abortion rights. And that's something that we did in New York this year.
Okay.
New York, Massachusetts, Washington, Delaware, Illinois just did it like last week.
Up here.
Now in Ohio,
Oregon,
it is,
Nevada.
Correct. Like, isn't Ohio like completely?
That's a 6 week, right?
Ohio is a 6 week ban.
That's completely.
But again,
that's the same
no,
as
yes.
Alabama.
Again, not in effect, though.
I actually, okay. Before we had this episode, a few days ago, because I knew it was coming up, called Planned Parenthood, asked for medical records, and I wanted to see how many weeks I was when I got my abortion. And just so you guys know, I got an abortion the week after I found out I was pregnant, and that was 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is crazy, because so when I got mine, I actually argued with them. They told me I was 6 weeks. I knew to the day. I knew when it happened, who it was with, because I didn't even have... I knew what it was, and I was exactly 4.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They told me six.
It's because of the way they date pregnancy.
Which is... So that also affects... So I could have gone in there, even though I'm telling them the exact date this happened, who it was with. I knew it 4th of July weekend. When I, yeah, anyways, I was literally 4.5 weeks. This is when we went to Tampa, bitch. But anyways, I was 4.5 weeks. I found out I knew my body, something wasn't right. I ended up taking a goddamn pregnancy test in a Kroger bathroom because I was shit-faced scared. I was
This is an excellent
into,
Florida story.
I was actually in Georgia, but we had like, we ended up going to Tampa that weekend. I went back home and my body just wasn't right. I knew I was 4.5 weeks. And on, you know, when I have my abortion, they will give you a picture. So I got the picture of my stomach, and my mom asked me over and over, do you want to see it? It was nothing but a dot.
Sure.
It was literally a dot. And I didn't feel connected at all. We'll get into my story a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was 4.5 weeks and they told me I was six. So for you to know your time and what was that your exact date?
Well, I called them and asked. And so like that was on my records. But I mean, yeah, I do remember letting a week go by because I was stressed out at work. So I was like, okay, so like
this might be
maybe
normal.
My period will come.
Yeah.
Well, right.
And it didn't. But that's the thing. It's like crazy. When I actually took a pregnancy test the night of our Toronto show because the app was freaking me out. My app was updating me like, you're one day late. And I was like, fuck. So I'm on the phone with my girlfriend. She's like, bitch, you definitely pregnant. I was like, no, but I feel a cramp. She was like, I did too. I was like, so I go to
She's about- like, take care of it while you're in Canada.
Right.
Right? That's how I'm feeling.
Cut it out.
Dude, I walked to the, I don't know what grocery store, I mean, like whatever they have there. But anyway, couldn't even like hold on. Like, I don't know why we all do it in like supermarket and like pharmacy bathrooms.
Because there's no waiting.
But I can't.
Well, I was an age. I was like, I am not doing this
at home.
And I was shit face scared to even bring it back to my. All I know is like when I actually told my mom that I was pregnant, and she listens to the show. So shout out to you, mom.
Hi, mom.
I literally had it in my hand and I took two. Because the first one, I was like, man, maybe the first one broke.
Yeah.
So I took the second one.
There's a reason they sell the two packs.
No shit. So I took the second one. That shit came. I just started bawling tears. And so I walked home. I couldn't even tell my mom, so I walked into her room, and I, at this point, I'm just literally bawling, crying, and she's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? Tell me. And she just started shaking her head. I think she knew, and all I did was show her I handed her the things, and then that became like a whole conversation, because my mom, I won't say the number, but I was her first child after her having multiple abortions. Mm-hmm. So it was to a point where she loved having me. My last sister was almost aborted, and that's a conversation we've had. And so, like, her immediate response was, okay, what do you want to do? And she gave me that option, but she, like, went ahead and shared how much she kind of regretted the abortion before me. And seeing how her daughters came out after, like, the ones that she didn't have. Mm-hmm. And so it affected her mentally after. And so she just wanted to make sure I was okay with it.
Shout out to your mom for having conversation that with you that
she
way.
She did. And she, even all the way up into me going to the clinic, it was just like, are you sure this will? And she literally had the conversation with me about her regrets of her abortions. Yeah. Just, you know, because she just didn't want me to feel what she felt. Hey guys, support for today's episode comes from Scentbird. With Scentbird, I have found a way to mix up my fragrance routine without breaking the bank, because y'all know a bitch be looking for a discount. And as y'all know, it is summertime all over the goddamn country. I wasn't going to say New York, but bitch, y'all everywhere. But whether it's Tom Ford, Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana, Versace, Scentbird.com keeps me smelling good month after month. So I am a big Flora by Gucci fan. But I'm like, you know, let me try something new. So with Scentbird, I'm actually now trying the Guilty by Gucci. And it's actually fairly, you know, smell good. The niggas like it. What Scentbird is, let me explain to y'all. It is a luxury fragrance subscription service for perfumes and colognes. And basically, all you do is choose the cologne or perfume that you want to try. More than 450 designer brands are available, and they will send you a 30-day supply. So that's 120 sprays. It's enough for more than like four times a day for the month. So with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, Scentbird is giving y'all hoes 50% off your first month. Do y'all know what that come out to be? Because y'all know I like doing math. That is only $7.50 for your first fragrance. So we need you to go on over to Scentbird at scentbird.com/WD. You're going to use our code WD for 50% off of your first month. Again, that's scentbird.com/WD. Offer code WD to get your first fragrance or cologne for $7.50. I'm excited that I am now a part of this subscription. So make sure y'all sign on and smell amazing. It's only right that this week's episode is also brought to you by Lola. Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes. Lola makes your month a little bit easier. With your subscription, it's fully customizable, and you can choose your mix of products. So your mix of absorbency, number of boxes, and frequency of delivery. The other thing that I really like about Lola is that the boxes come very discreet. So you don't have to worry about your neighbors or your coworkers or wherever you get your deliveries, them knowing you're getting your tampons delivered to you. But also, just so you know, Sex by Lola can be also added to your subscription. And Sex by Lola is my favorite. You actually can get condoms and personal little packs of lubricants. I really like their condoms. They don't irritate that, and they don't dry me out. So I'm definitely here for Lola. With our special code, you guys can actually get 40% off of all of your subscriptions. So visit mylola.com, enter our promo code WDP, that's WDP, like double penetration, and get 40% off of all of your subscriptions. I'm so excited, again, for Lola to be an official sponsor here with us monthly. So once again, visit mylola.com and enter promo code WDP for 40% off of all of your subscriptions. Now, I'm super excited to get back to this conversation. So now, let's get back to the episode. Was there any type of conversation that you and your mom had? Because I know you being your mom's only was a really big deal.
So my mom had me at 40. She didn't know she could have kids, I think. And my aunt, rest in peace to my aunt, but she had like 5 miscarriages or something. So like childbirth is like really hard.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Which... not like it's funny, but I'm just saying to
she's
one
like,
of my friends,
I ain't gonna get pregnant.
When I was like pregnant, I was like, yo, I was like, the way she be going with my family, I don't even know if it's gonna stick. Like, I mean,
not stick.
I mean, bro, my grandma said it. My aunt had 5 miscarriages. My mom had 3. I was like, yo, I mean, maybe like,
and maybe it'll all
and
work
also
out.
Lots and lots of pregnancies and in miscarriage.
Yes,
like,
I know.
Outside
and
of your family
talk about
history,
that enough
that
either.
That's not even right.
Incredibly
right.
Like miscarriage
so,
stigma is a whole
so
other conversation.
Fucking normal. Yeah. But so yeah. Anyway, when I ended up having my abortion, my mom was super supportive. Like, I was in my opinion, like, I don't care. I'm 28 years old right now. If I got pregnant today, I'm not ready.
Yeah.
I still feel like a kid. You know, I might be financially stable, but I'm not mentally stable enough for a kid. My mom was talking about how, you know, she's like, I just accepted my life without a kid as much as I wanted you. She just talked about that postpartum, about how bad it was and how regretful she was feeling. Mm. You know, I mean, that's a real thing. I couldn't imagine thinking I was going to have an abortion, felt shamed enough or guilty enough to keep it, and then end up with this kid the whole time. I know people in my life right now that probably shouldn't have had kids.
We all
can't
do.
Afford them.
Yeah. We all do. 100%. And it's also okay to just not want children.
Dude,
agree.
Like, it's okay to just not want children.
Forced motherhood sucks.
Yeah.
I think
there's
nothing wrong with having an abortion, and also want to add the shaming around abortion. Like, I felt it too. And, like, even from friends, like, making jokes about it, like, it's funny and we laugh and whatever, but, like...
Is it, though?
In the moment, they're like, damn, again, and, like, you laugh. But you laugh, I think, to cover up how you might really feel.
Yeah. Fair.
You know? Yeah. I mean, we all gotta feel a little something.
You asked earlier about, like, besides religion, which I don't think is a besides, I think it's a really big piece of this. Like, what are the other sort of, like, forces around the stigma of abortion? And I think there's a couple of things. One, religion is a huge piece of it.
Family.
Absolutely. But also, all of it comes back to a need culturally to control women. It also obviously impacts other people who can get pregnant, but this cultural need is to control women. And the best way to control women is to keep them out of control of their fertility.
Mm.
If you can't control
that
when you're having a child or how many children you're having, or if you're having children, you can't be in control of your economic life.
Nope.
You can't be in control of your career.
Happiness.
You can't be in control of your happiness.
Nothing.
You get removed from society. In a
can
lot of
you
ways.
Talk about, sorry, I just lost my train of thought. Not the shame. Fuck, I'll come back to it. Go ahead.
There's a Ruth Bader Ginsburg quote that I'm going to brutalize with all apologies to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But about the ability to control one's reproduction is like intrinsic to women being a full member of society.
Oh,
that's the gist of it.
Yeah.
Again, I ruined poor RBG.
Now I know where I've got it. A lot of people have said the heartbeat bill and, later abortions, it's not good because baby could feel it. Mm-hmm. Oh, baby could do this.
Oh,
this
that's
and
a
that.
Good one.
Can we talk about maybe, I mean, as far as you can speak to, but like how true all of that is?
Yeah.
You know, like,
because they pretty much, which is
mine's
why
not so bad, because if it's only 6 weeks,
I mean,
really
shit, mine was a dot.
Mine looks like a dot.
It didn't have a heartbeat
but what if it did?
27 days or something, it has a heartbeat, right?
You said that in the other, and
so
when you guys shared your stories initially,
so
too.
So what is the, at what date is a heartbeat there?
I'm not a doctor, so I don't know specifics, but from what I've read, like, that's more of, like, a pulsation from, like, it's not a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's not a heartbeat.
Not.
Again, this is a symptom of misinformation that people do to pull at heartstrings at people who are already inclined, whether it's their family pressure or societal pressure.
That was a huge
to be like,
that's crazy.
I am almost 30.
I'm gonna send you all the links.
It's pulsation.
It's not a heartbeat.
I'm paraphrasing.
A fetus develops the mechanism that is a heart. These heartbeat bills are not about that point.
No.
They are about a moment in which, during ultrasound, you can hear what sounds like a pulse.
But really, it could be like constipation.
It's something happening in the womb.
It's something happening.
But it could be shit moving because now it's getting ready for God. It's just okay.
The thing that and I am an unapologetic pro-abortion person. People are always like, nobody's like pro-abortion. I'm like, I am.
Right.
Yeah, so, get out of here. Right,
who's so, not pro-abortion?
I absolutely am.
Tommy Lauren was.
Right?
Got her ass fired.
It did get her fired.
It did.
Toodles. Like, let's not say you're not pro-abortion,
you know,
bro.
Well, the men don't want her to right. like be anything.
I don't
She's
want
just
to agree with her, but I'll take that one point.
Just the one.
I come from the perspective that abortion is not a tragedy. It's not a difficult, tragic, horrible decision. Abortion is a social good. Abortion is a medical procedure that allows women to engage in society fully. That is, people, legislators love to ask, like, well, how do we reduce the abortion rate? I don't care about reducing the abortion rate. I care about being there being exactly as many abortions as people need. That is the right
thing. If someone is listening to us right now and truly believes, but you're murdering, you're killing a human being, you're killing a person, which is what this where the criminal aspect of it comes from, like you're killing a human life. Mm-hmm. For the listeners that are listening and truly believe that, I guess, what would you say to that? Or
I think you can believe that. Fine, right. Knock yourself out. You can also believe anything else that you want.
Right.
I don't care what you believe. I care deeply about what people legislate.
Okay.
Now, there's still harm in you believing that, because that's where we enter all of this cultural stigma, right?
Right.
But it's when people start legislating based on these medically inaccurate, religiously based, oppressive
beliefs. Clearly, which is all over Google.
Which is all over
everything.
All
I mean,
over the country.
That's how we pulled up that article.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we have a problem. And,
okay.
You know, there are legislators out there who are saying, I'm voting for this pro-abortion bill because of my religious beliefs. It's something that Governor Cuomo has said. I am a Catholic, but I am a legislator who is running the state of New York, and this is important and good.
Right.
So, like, it's not... Evangelicals and Catholics don't have a monopoly on religious belief about abortion, but they would like you to believe that they do.
Right, and it still should be a separation between state and
again,
church.
Maybe
state.
That ship is
sailing.
Yeah,
it was only been legal for five or 6 years.
Right. What
I was I was just about to say that, you asked the question about if someone who's listening, if they feel like they're, you know, hurting a fetus or killing or, you know, taking a life.
Right.
I read this recently from On the Daily Beast. There was a piece, according to the founding fathers, a fetus is not an American person.
Oh.
The United States Constitution clearly indicates that human life begins at birth, not at conception.
Oh.
So, like, on a legal level.
Mm-hmm. The state of New York defines a person as someone who is born and alive.
Wow.
So, I mean, that could be one. Maybe that might make sense to someone who's listening. And
right.
I understand there's a lot of, like, moral back and forth on this.
Of course.
But, once you're in the world, you're...
Are there any, like, resources or groups or, like, women that have felt, like, too much shame or, like... Or any, like,
oh, yeah.
So many.
Yeah?
So many. There's lots of folks who are doing, like, anti-stigma work around abortion. There's a group called Shout Your Abortion that publishes...
And I've been seeing the stories online about that.
That publishes people's abortion stories that they submit to them. They wrote a whole book. I think Lindy West had an excerpt in there.
And our home mail for this episode, guys, will actually be... And we want to thank our listeners. So when Wheezy... you know, ask people to share their stories. We did get some emails as well. So we'll be sharing an abortion experience from one of our listeners.
And just even the fact that you guys have shared yours, the fact that this is like a kind of a movement that's brewing and more people are like adding to that. The more we talk about this stuff and people share their experiences and like especially men in our lives and get them more involved in having the conversation and whether it affects like women they know or their partners or whomever, like this is something we need to keep talking
and
about.
And it's even been in our mainstream too lately. I don't know if you guys watched the game. There was an episode where I believe it was Tia or Tamara, I don't know which one is on there, but one of the twins went to the doctor with her partner at the time and she had never let him know that she had an abortion previously.
Mm.
And so even having that conversation with your partner, I think a lot of women do feel the shame of even bringing up, hey, I've done this before.
In Sex and the City, I don't know if you guys remember that episode where Carrie lied. He's like, have you ever had one? She's like, oh, God, no. Oh, God, no. Right. And like, she's like, why the fuck did I do that?
Why?
And
not even knowing.
Like, the most sex positive show of the 90s. Like... why even in that?
She brought it to that.
How can you better? Why did we do that? We sat at this table like, I can't believe we're doing this. I can't believe we're doing this.
Literally, we did the whole preface, and me and her were just like, oh my God, I didn't think I would ever share
but
this
you know
with
what?
The show. I didn't
it's
know.
A, it's and we not so our glad you did. Fault. So we glad can you acknowledge did. That we're sex positive, but there's a lot of truth behind whorephobia and abortion shame and feeling like, what are they going to think of me? And even as people like this, you watch Carrie, right? Who second to Samantha was the most sex positive person. Mm-hmm. But we still feel that. That really tells you how mm-hmm. our upbringing has shaped us to feel shame mm-hmm. about it.
Yeah. Agreed. You know? And I was talking to Lacey, actually, and a part of kind of my abortion that I didn't share, and I was talking to her about, and I guess we can talk to it as well, is kind of like the PTSD or the aftermath of what people are feeling after they have abortions. And so I was talking to a friend of mine, shout out to Cecilia. We were having a conversation, and we talked about, oh my God, like the casual sex, me wanting a boyfriend, me doing all of these things, and during our conversation, I burst into tears because I realized, and I'm on the podcast a lot talking about, I love condom dick. I like fucking guys with condoms. I only, you know, I don't like raw dick. There's like, I'm scared as shit to have raw sex. And not only, of course, I'm concerned about catching something, but having a baby is like, to me right now, outside of a disease, of course, is kind of the worst thing that could happen. Because to me, I genuinely feel like I don't want to go through the abortion experience again. And talking mm-hmm. to her, I realized why. When I had my abortion, and I think this is more so of a personality trait, I like to prove people wrong. I hate to feel like I disappoint people. Mm. And with that decision, I felt like I let 3 people down. I let my mom down. She was in tears crying. And we also, at that point, I lied to my mom. I went a year with my period and didn't even tell her. Mm-hmm. So in terms of my body and me growing up, I never felt like I had anyone to really talk sex or anything about my body with growing up. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I let her down. I felt like I let my homegirl down. Shout out to Keita. She was the one, my mom could not afford my full abortion. Even though we had health care, she didn't have the money to. We wouldn't have been able to pay our bills that month. So I literally reached out to my homegirl who worked at an ice cream shop. And she sent the money up for me to be able to pay for my abortion. The third person I felt like I let down, but also kind of affected me, was the person who got me pregnant. When I told him I was going to do it, he was irate and said, "You're killing my son." He had a daughter already. He was just certain that I had his son. And so he didn't want me to get it. He didn't help send money for it mm-hmm. when I was pregnant. And then, of course, in the process of the 2 weeks to me to set the clinic appointment and all of that things, he actually ended up getting locked up. So go figure. But he made it hell because he felt like I was killing his son. So he guilt shamed me into me believing like I'm killing his son that he wants. So having that experience of letting 3 people down with this one decision, I just know I just don't want to ever experience that again. And so I feel like that's even why I'm so like pro condom. I you know, because I fear getting pregnant again.
Listen.
I know.
I mean, sure, things happen.
Yes, of course.
Also, it's probably a lot easier to enjoy sex if you're not
worried about it. Right?
I'm worried about that period coming.
If that's what you're comfortable, like,
you've learned what works for you.
Yes.
Listen, which is important.
Yes.
I'm sad that you've had all those feelings.
Right.
That but sucks. Those are hard feelings.
I know this decision.
Those are not necessarily abortion feelings.
Right.
Those are relationship feelings.
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
And,
For sure.
They're triggered by your mom's feelings about her choices. They're triggered by your partner at the time.
Agreed.
Not, frankly, respecting your bodily autonomy enough to support you in that decision.
Right.
They're triggered by the feeling of having to rely on other people, like your friend, which also, what an amazing friend.
Right. No, she should have.
Like, yes.
We're all going to light candles for her tonight.
Yes. But also, and instead of feeling, sorry to cut you off, instead of feeling badly towards her or that you disappointed her, how about finding gratitude that she helped you in that moment?
Of course.
Because, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know that that's an oversimplification, but.
But also, all of those things. All of those feelings happened because barriers have been put up for against you accessing care.
Yes,
you're right.
Because that guy had been told that his feelings mattered more than yours. Mm. Because your mom had been told she did something wrong. Mm. Right? all of those things are the compounding effect of
goddamn stigma, Danielle, like, and
misogyny. Right, but, you know,
I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know.
You're not you're like a psychologist.
Are you going to feel too that you like your tonsils didn't get a chance to live?
No,
like,
you're right.
They're tonsils.
You know, I had a different experience because I think I was so sure that this is what I had to do. Mm-hmm. Like, had a relationship. That person was my boyfriend. It was like I was positive. And honestly, even now, like, people will ask me, like, how old? Like, I don't even attach those feelings. Yeah. And then when I watch certain movies or talk to certain people, they'll know the ages that they would have been down to the day.
Right. I don't even think about that shit. I don't regret it. I will say it's not a regret. Where I saw even me and her life, like, us just trying to figure out life on our own at 18, 19, 20, 21.
Still.
I give credit to all of my friends who have children or just one child to have to take care of themselves and a whole nother human being.
I was so dumb. Like, no. Honestly, for real. Like, I think I just got over the dumb hump at, like, 25. I can't even imagine. I don't know how to feed myself.
It is.
Let yourself off.
How was I going to feed a baby? Yeah. I don't know how to feed myself.
For sure.
And, you know, people figure it out, right? But you have the opportunity to decide if you want to figure it out.
Right, which I love. Right.
So I wanted
to... Can I say one more thing on that, just to echo, again, what she said? But also, like, as you were talking and saying that, seeing your facial expression change and, like, thinking about that time, it's just interesting to, for, I think, as people are going through these situations, to try and make, to differentiate what their feelings are on the process versus the outside input they're getting from people they care a lot about, and the pressure that kind of comes with that. And I just as you were talking, I want to say one more thing. There are a lot of women and trans people who are in relationships like that gentleman friend of yours who pressure them to stay in them by getting them pregnant. Like, there's a lot of domestic violence.
Reproductive coercion is real.
Reproductive coercion is very, very real.
And we've never even spoke on that on this show.
You just, so, you know, you barely touched on, like, this guy who you were dating, like, pressured you into, or, you know, wanted to keep his child who he was certain was a male.
So right, and he was for sure there. Was a male. Right. Mind you, and again, like I said,
he ended up getting dumb sometimes. Not the ones that listen.
Yeah,
but
no,
the other
but
ones.
They're awful. But yeah, I don't know what he planned. He was in the streets at the time. That's probably also why I don't deal with them type of niggas no more. But like, yeah, like what you're saying is exactly what it was. Like, and while a lot of men that we would think pressure a woman to have an abortion because they don't want it, I got the opposite of him saying, oh my God, you're going to kill my baby. It's my little boy.
It means you're in his life forever.
Right.
It means
ties this person forever.
Tied to
and
him
I
forever.
Want to
yeah.
be, I want
yeah.
to. So
yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys, what are the steps? So if someone wants to have an abortion, what are the steps in which you would do to get one? Because both of you are in the space. Like, some people don't even know where to begin.
It varies
okay.
a little bit based on where you live,
okay,
which is unfortunate.
Okay.
So if you are in a state like New York or Massachusetts or California, you can go to your doctor if you're a public hospital,
okay.
Any medical provider.
Okay.
And in those states, they should be able to
refer you
to an abortion provider.
Okay.
Whether it's in the hospital, you can get an abortion at Bellevue.
Oh.
Like, not all procedures, but, like, you don't always have to go to a clinic.
Good to know.
If you're in a place where there is less access to care, you're going to have to do a few things. You're going to have to find a provider, and there's a bunch of ways to do that. You can look for Planned Parenthoods. If they don't provide abortion in your state, they'll refer you to an abortion provider.
Yeah. Okay.
You can look at the National Abortion Federation, which represents all of the independent clinics. They have a website. But if you're going to Google, like, abortion Cleveland, one of the things, you know, like, whatever, you're
wherever
like, I live in Cleveland, where do I get an abortion?
Right.
One of the things you're going to have to look out for is there are these fake anti-abortion clinics that present themselves like options.
You may
remember on the subway, this dates me a little bit, but there used to be signs that were like pregnant, scared, and like had a phone number. And what these are it's the same people who protest outside clinics.
Crisis
pregnancy centers are fake clinics. And what they do is they try to
convince you to
either keep it or delay you until you legally can't get an abortion in your state.
Which there's already for in many states so many tactics that delay you as it is
course.
You wander into one of these clinics, you know, fake clinics, thinking that you're getting help and like actual unbiased opinions,
and you're not.
And they're strategically making you.
How does someone tell the difference between a clinic that's going to do that and a clinic that can actually help you?
One of the things that you can do is take a look at their website. If they talk about post-abortion syndrome, they're not an abortion clinic. That is a made-up fake thing. If they tell you your abortion might give you breast cancer, they are not a real clinic. That is fake and a lie. They talk about pre-abortion counseling but not actually about abortion care, they are not a real clinic. But also, you can always check, again, something like the NAF, National Abortion Federation website, to see if this is listed as one of their clinics. So say you've now found an actual provider and you're like, shit, now I have to pay for it. You might need to go in 24 or 72 hours in advance and have a first appointment. Some states have waiting periods. You don't need to wait to buy a gun, but you got to wait to have medicine.
Initial consultation, you drive like hundreds of miles,
wherever.
Let's say, you know, 200 miles
Shut
to get to
up.
You have that initial consultation. Then in some states, the same physician has to see you for
again
the actual abortion, but not until 3 days later. So
and
imagine like you already have children, right?
You gotta take your time off.
Have abortions, by the way, are very often women who already mothers, already have children.
Right.
You know? So like what do you do for childcare? What do you do for taking time off during that time? Do you sleep in your car? We know, you know,
right.
There are people who tell these stories all the time.
The later you wait to get a procedure, it also gets exponentially more expensive because the medicine behind it changes. At 6 weeks, I don't know if you guys had a medication abortion or a physical one, but you can do either. A medication abortion is literally taking some pills and going home.
That shit
and
bleeding. Boy.
Yeah, I think
I had the same. My body responded
something
almost identically to Plan B as to a medication abortion, where I was like, I don't enjoy this at all.
I have never felt more pain.
Put a toy up.
I think I've
a toy, a tool, something went out my goddamn vagina.
You had a physical procedure.
So, surgical abortion and medical.
Yeah, surgical is a myth.
Surgical is.
Is a misnomer, though.
Medicinal?
Yeah, so there's a medical abortion, which is the pills.
Okay.
Oftentimes it's referred to as surgical, but that implies, like, cutting.
I know.
And
okay, yeah, no.
That's not...
It was like a vacuum, I think they
said. Yeah, it's a DNC.
Yeah.
So...
why do we all make a face?
So you have to go, maybe you have to hear a state mandated script full of medical inaccuracies because states pass those laws where the doctor has to read you a thing and then be like, none of this is true. I had to tell you that because the state mandated that I tell you that.
Wow.
And then you get the procedure. You may have to wait for somebody to come and pick you up because you can't leave alone, especially if you had anesthesia.
Yes, that is I used to do in high school.
Yeah. And then there is the question of how are you going to pay for it?
Mm-hmm.
If you are poor and you don't live in a state
like
New York,
my ass.
Medicaid won't cover it.
They did.
Your insurance may not cover it. In New York, they are mandated to cover it at no copay.
Or they'll do a portion of it.
Or they'll cover a portion of it.
Yeah.
And then you have to come up with the rest. Now, mm-hmm. there are resources to help you come up with the rest. There is a network of abortion funds across the country. They are amazing. They are by and large volunteer run and driven by individual donors. And they will help you pay for your abortion.
I like a good grassroots.
They're incredible.
They are primarily run by and I believe founded by women of color. They've existed for a long time.
I love that.
Some of them pay for abortion care. Some of them help with travel logistics. Some of them
Can we talk about
National Network of Abortion Funds?
We gonna work
How
with
can
them.
Someone who's listening, who maybe can't get pregnant but wants to help, i.e. the men listening or mm-hmm. women that can't get pregnant, whatever, how can they help in their communities? I know we have escorts in some places.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was called that I did, but basically, if I was free, I would call the Planned Parenthood and be like, yo, if anybody needs help, and they would call me back. Like, it wasn't even mm-hmm. a real sign-up thing. There was no real place to do this. I was 16. I just got a license. Maybe, mm-hmm. like, online. I don't know, but I'm sure there is now. But, yeah, basically, I would go, and they would just have me meet the girl, like, maybe an hour before, and then I would drive them. And even when I was sitting in the parking lot, people would go off because they knew
Absolutely.
What I was doing. They'd seen me before.
So there's a lot of different ways people can be involved in this. The baseline is making this a decision point in your voting and not voting for anti-choice politicians.
There we go. Yep. Adam vote.
Not just at the presidential level, not at just at the federal level, but at the local, state level and the local
and
level
state
in particular.
Elections matter.
There are a lot of places that need your money. The abortion funds, and they exist in every part of the country, rely exclusively on grassroots donations.
Okay, good to know.
So you are helping someone pay for their abortion care.
Maybe we can link up with one of them for our next live show.
Absolutely.
Oh, we try. Yes. I'll reach out for sure.
Yeah. And the other piece is to talk about it. Part of why I was so excited to come here is because healthcare is an important part of being sex positive, and abortion is part of having sex. And I'm so excited that we're talking about this,
and
I'm
you
so
came
excited
ready.
To talk
I'm
to you
so
guys
glad
about
that
it.
Our listeners are gonna, like, I've learned so much literally just sitting across from you in the last hour. And I'm sure even our listeners, like, they'll be able to do more further research on their own.
Yeah.
And for any of our listeners who are having, you know, the struggle psychologically or with the people in their life, like pressuring them to either have one or not have one, genuinely just listening to this episode and hopefully making the decision for themselves.
I feel like there's going to be someone who listens that's like, oh, you're just basically acting like abortion's not a big deal. Much like our HIV episode when people were like, yeah, you guys make it that and herpes, you make it not like a big deal. But I feel like out of everything that we've ever covered, abortion is the most normal.
You said it was normal in the very beginning.
It's more normal than eating shit, which has been a kink of the week. Like, it's we both had it.
I can't address the statistics on that, but
right.
I just don't know.
I mean, I don't know how many people
I feel
eat
like
shit.
More people have. Okay, has anyone in this room ate shit? No. But three of us have had abortions.
No, I've watched. Okay,
yep, there we go.
Pink have flamingos. You guys,
all right, maybe.
My dog does, but that doesn't count.
Pink flamingos?
Oh my god, Pink Flamingos is a John Waters movie featuring Divine, who is a drag queen, and she eats shit in it.
There's a movie.
The only drag queen movie I can think about right now is Too Long
Classic.
Delve
into the world of John Waters.
Speaking of eating shit, you guys been to the Box?
Well, I've been to the Box, but not during one of their shows. It's here in what?
So it's a burlesque show show, but like, yeah, it's really out there. I actually saw Sophie Turner, who is Sansa from Game of Thrones, there, and I lost it. I was like, oh, this shit good, because if she here, I need to be here.
It is one of those venues. Yeah,
It's in the Lower East Side, right? So I go, and the second act that I saw was like a fake toilet coming out, and I don't know if it was real shit or not, but
it definitely wasn't real.
He smeared it all over himself. The third person I saw that came out put a water bottle inside of her pussy and like squirted in the audience, peed inside, like, or like squirted it into like a purse and like drank it. It was great. You guys gotta go.
Yeah. So there
if
goes
you look
the
at
box.
The Yelp reviews, you'll either see 5 stars or people
or
are like,
stars.
Like, yes,
fine,
exactly.
Right.
Like, five and one, five and one.
That's it.
Nobody's like, you know, I didn't expect like, whatever. No.
Nobody feels like
very
about it. They're like 2.5. It was all right. The one other thing I wanted to say. I think, and we hear this a lot with abortion, we hear this with like sexual harassment and rape and all of the things that impact women and other people who aren't straight men, basically.
Right. Y'all cis niggas.
You'll often hear men say like, I don't know anybody that's happened to. I don't know anybody who's had an abortion.
They love
I don't know anybody who gets
saying that shit.
And,
but it's also
right,
like,
who has an abortion?
How many of those conversations have you actually tried to have with a woman
at
the same
time?
Not to mention that they're friends.
Ask
you
your
know
friends.
A man that's had to have one with a woman.
Right. Your man, your homeboy then made a bitch have an abortion, but you don't know any women.
Ask your friends. Ask your male friends. Ask your female friends. If you're going to do it, you have to be prepared to like actually have that conversation and not be an asshole about it.
For sure.
And be genuinely interested in hearing from your friends. But talk about it. You'll learn. Talk to your mom. Ask your mom about it.
And if you're not comfortable with like talking to your like mom about it, talk to your aunts. Talk to your, you know, like other elders in your family who would probably be like a little bit more inclined to have the conversation because they know that you're not going to get it.
My grandma asked about abortion when we were. I went to see her. What was it, like last week? And my mom and I are having a conversation about Georgia and like, you know, we're talking about learning stuff and whatever. And I'm like, Grandma, did you ever have an abortion? And she was like, she just gave me this look. And she's like, I don't think I could have got it. And I'm like, oh, and my mom's in the car. Mind you, she had 3 fucking kids. And I'm like, this is awkward. But also, like, she was saying to me, she's like, and even if I could, she's like, would I have had enough money? Probably not. Right. So I would have been in the same place. Mm-hmm. And that's the sad thing about it.
Was it legal then? Also,
that's what, grandma's 8 in her late 80s. So probably not.
Yeah, maybe not.
Which makes it significantly less safe, you know, which is what they're trying. Like, just be, just right. If abortion, if these bans go through, which hopefully
they
don't.
That's what I want to talk about. Like, how do unsafe, what is an unsafe abortion? We all know about a fucking hanger, but that sounds very like.
Being thrown down the stairs, well, like on those, again, probably on the
best. Like, what is the most realistic? Is it a drink someone takes? Like, how are women culturally having unsafe abortions? Like, in what way?
Well, today.
So there's a couple of ways. Mm-hmm. They're having a procedure done by someone who isn't licensed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're doing that because they can't access
care.
The care that right. should be available to them.
I just These are not, by the way, third world countries. Ireland just had abortion become legal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that shit is real. If you couldn't afford to fly out, what you gonna
do? Yeah. I just want to be clear that, like, the reason people don't access, like, the provision of medical care is usually because there are barriers put in place.
Right.
So they perhaps are ordering pills on the internet, which can be more or less safe depending on the pills.
Right.
There are herbal remedies which are more or less safe. Some of them have been used for a really
for
long time.
For essentially, like, probably you look at just have a safe miscarriage, quote unquote. Not
yeah.
safe,
well, but, there's no means of deciphering between the two. If you, like, went to the hospital afterwards, they can't tell
if it's safe
if you've had an abortion or if you're miscarrying.
Ah, okay.
But then there are places, and I'm forgetting what country it was. It was in South America where they were dealing with an abortion ban, and activists were circulating videos teaching women how to throw themselves in front of a bus
what?
So that it looked like a accident to terminate their pregnancies, or how to trip and fall on a
super
fire hydrant.
Common.
Right? How to physically induce a miscarriage because they couldn't access abortion,
wow.
right?
Wow.
That's insane.
No, literally.
This should never be the measures that women have to resort to. Listen, if the answer is you have to take herbs that have worked for thousands of years, like, okay, fine. Like, that's not ideal, but, like, all right.
But to cause physical
harm to
yourself.
But to have to cause physical harm to yourself.
That's insane.
People take hot baths, they drink bleach, which really doesn't work. Those things are not connected. But people are pretty unaware
Didn't
of how
I
their
think
bodies
in
work.
A movie, Precious. That's right. She had an abortion by some, like, neighborhood doctor lady.
Yeah.
That movie came out a while ago, but I do remember that was the first time I had kind of watched it like that and had questions for myself. Like,
and when I was learning
Dirty Dancing,
that happened a lot.
But that was the
shout out to New Paltz.
Yeah.
I want to read before we get out of here. Our home mail this week again is from one of our listeners who shared her abortion experience. She says, "Hey y'all, I just want to start by saying I love y'all. I listen faithfully every week and was so happy to hear you guys mention abortion. Here's my story. I was 14 when I had an abortion. I had only had sex 8 times and knew nothing about what I was doing. I was a freshman in high school sneaking around with a 19-year-old senior. He was the star of the football team and he made me feel special. Eventually, we stopped having sex because I found out he had a whole girlfriend. Not a half one, a whole one. Fast forward, I start throwing up all day long after every meal. I can't make it through basketball practice anymore.
Man.
I sleep all day long and all of a sudden, I can't see my feet in the shower anymore. One morning, I threw up after I had breakfast and my mom straight up asked me if I was pregnant. I hadn't told anyone but my big sister that I was having sex, so I was in shock. But I was honest. I told her I didn't know. Her reaction was what any black mother's reaction would be. She was pissed. She called my dad, stepmom, and stepdad, and they made me explain everything.
What?
My dad called
the whole team.
My dad called me a hot. I don't know. Maybe she meant hoe. My dad called me a hoe, and my stepmom told me this baby was going to ruin my life, and they were going to let it. They then made me take them over to the house. His mom was there. But he wasn't, and she basically acted like she didn't care. Then they made me call him, and he told my parents it wasn't his, and he didn't know me.
Oh, my God.
That hurt. He was the only person I had ever had sex with. So then my parents were really pissed. They made me call and tell my grandparents, and they told everybody else.
What the fuck?
I felt so ashamed, but at the same time, I still didn't really know much about sex.
As fuck.
That night, I was at my dad's house and got a call from my mom. She had her first child at 18. She told me she's seen me make so many of the same mistakes that she did, but she didn't want this to be one of them. She asked me if I had wanted to keep it. I was honest and said no. I was a baby. What was I going to do with a baby? She told me we didn't have to tell anybody and she would take care of it.
You had to tell everybody the whole point.
Right. I didn't grow up with a lot of money, but my mom took the rest of her income tax money and paid for the doctor's visit where we found out I was 8 weeks along and they took care of the abortion. She gave me the chance that nobody else wanted to. Now I'm a college grad, I'm a teacher, and I'm influencing more girls like me not to make the same mistakes. It really hurts sometimes to see people openly speak against something they can never understand. I'll shout from the mountaintops that a woman should have the right to choose what she does with her body. Thanks for you two.
Oh my God, I want to hug her so much.
My eyes are watering reading that, but I'm also really emotional right now with my anxiety. But
dude, can imagine how stressed out you are already at 14.
Oh my God.
That you don't even think you're pregnant. You're that oblivious.
Everyone's letting him off the hook like it's not a big deal.
Like it's not a big deal.
I'm not wishing bad on nobody, but just Facebook him and just see. And if he ain't, let's all rejoice. Email us back. You know?
That's too much.
But also, again, as a woman, like, you feel the shame from everyone.
You got to call your grandparents. I will say
the kid was probably scared of his parents, too.
I'm sure.
No, of course.
And men have that thing with, you know?
Mom who knew.
Who knew.
Who knew.
And who knew that she also had to hide that from all of those other people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what it becomes, like, this real intergenerational, like, trauma that gets passed down. And it doesn't... I get frustrated because it doesn't have to.
But right? Also, for anyone who's a mother of a teenage daughter, for her first response to be to call everyone in the family
right.
without first having that conversation with her. Because now, even though you did take her to have the abortion, everyone knows she was pregnant. How you think the baby just disappeared?
Right.
So without even saying, hey, I went to take her to get an abortion.
It's wanting to shame. Knows. But a lot of... I was recently talking to the lady when I was getting my hair braided, and she was like, we watched this woman embarrass her kid in the hair salon, right? And I was like,
it's like a lesson, right?
Yeah. Mm. Now, my mom had done a few things to try to embarrass me. Like, I think I was really young, and, like, I made fun of this girl about what she was wearing, so my mom wouldn't let me wear my certain things. I was a kid. I was in elementary school. But I understood that lesson. To me, that's a value, right? It's like, mm-hmm. I still have clothes to wear to school, but it's not what I wanted. It's like, that was her way of letting me feel it. When parents try to embarrass kids, like, I really don't believe it's this transformative justice at all. No. Like, it's degrading as fuck.
My sister stole something one time, and my mama
made her return it.
Literally that's made her go back in. Up into the thing and say, I
got
this.
That's different from
owning up to something
that's
you
kind
did.
Of, yeah. Okay.
Versus, like,
telling
there's
everyone
nothing to own up to in this girl's scenario.
Of
right?
course.
She had sex.
She had sex.
What? That's not a thing you have to own up to. That's a thing you do, and that's an okay choice, in theory.
Right.
Right? So it's not, like, stealing is wrong.
Also, she was in high school, right?
Depending on who you're stealing from.
A lot of you might be hearing this age, 14, being like, ugh.
Man, we always, me and all my friends, we was fucking in high school.
But high school, I mean, that's the fucking age.
Yeah. And one of the things that we also advocate for, obviously, abortion is sort of our centerpiece. Like, that is the thing. But it's also the thing that's most under attack. Access to contraception is so important and harder than it should be. But the other thing is that sex ed in this country is, like, abysmal.
Yeah,
you know, especially if you're at a public school.
You know who's providing some of that sex ed in some schools? Those fake clinics.
Yeah.
Governments are bringing them in to do abstinence-only education. So there's a real need to, like, reform that. It's something that should be, like, a K-12 learning experience. Mm-hmm. You're not going to send a kid to college and be like, do calculus if you didn't teach them how to count in kindergarten. But we're sending kids off graduating out of high school and being like, you need to understand consent, you need to understand your body, you need to understand relationships.
Not wanting your kid to be in sex ed is wild shit.
Yeah. Well,
and you have to get permission to be able to teach it to kids at a lot of the public schools.
Legislators love to say, well, parents really want to teach that at home.
No, they don't.
They didn't learn it themselves, right. And they don't know how to have that conversation.
No. And we wouldn't have such a consent problem in this country if that was true.
No. I thought honestly. I could suck a dick and get pregnant. Only, like, my mom told, like, I just didn't ask those specifics, right?
Right.
But, like, my mom told me about sex. My mom taught me how I could get pregnant. Like, got to use a condom, birth control, things like that. But I still really was like, yo, if I swallow.
You never know.
That's
right.
It.
The baby going to swim down
once
and
again,
get into my goddamn
those systems
egg.
Aren't connected, but people don't know that.
Right.
They don't.
Right.
People don't get taught that.
Yeah. Do you guys have any sort of emails or anything that we would be able to let our listeners know if they have any questions to you? Or I guess we can go ahead and also just shout out, before we get out of here, the places that they could do outreach to, and maybe find the answers they want regarding the laws that are going on.
We didn't cover something, though.
Abortions. What?
I don't know if you did when I was in the bathroom. The effects of too many, like, is there a too high number?
No.
No.
Well, we talked about it not affecting the reproduction. And
no.
It was, and also, like, so it doesn't affect the reproduction, right? Mm-hmm. What are the statistics that we are fucking seeing like that? Like, we sat in this episode, Mandy heard it, I said no way, Googled it, and it came up like it was fucking gospel. Like, are there studies that are, like, it could there be a false...
You're talking about fertility?
Yes.
Yeah, fertility.
No.
So, no.
She said it was safe.
The one thing that I would really, really nudge... Like, so, okay, on that episode, again, I keep going back to when you guys talked about it, you pulled something up and started reading.
Yeah,
and in my head, as I'm listening, I'm like, what is this source? What is the website? Is this Wikipedia? Is it prolife.com? Is it, you know what I mean? Like, where are people finding update, information?
People update, I know, Wikipedia. They can just go in there and update anything.
And one of the things that has just coming out in particular, and this isn't fully the same thing, but in the last, like, year and a half, studies of the Facebook algorithm show that, in particular, anti-abortion stories get lifted up in social media more than other sources. So Life News gets, like, elevated in face, like, shares of Life News get
LifeNews.com, which is not good.
They're not good. LifeNews.com. No. Okay, not a good source.
It's ironic, right? Like, life sounds like a good thing. Inevitably, if you are reading about reproduction and there's the word life in the title, it is almost always an anti-abortion source.
Good to know.
So there's lots of resources out there.
That makes sense.
That does
right?
make sense.
And I actually, shout out to Anique, who I used to work with. She sent an article to me this morning on this. Right-wing sources dominate abortion-related news on Facebook. 63% of links and 72% of Facebook posts are coming from right-leaning sources.
Why are they so upset?
And, like, this is, again, this is something...
Like, I honestly don't even get it anymore. Like, I... Unrelated, but, like, posted a picture with the girl I'm dating and I kissed her. You wouldn't believe the amount of fake pages that, like, has shit to say about me.
Oh, yeah.
I literally talked about eating a cream pie out of someone before. But seeing me kiss this girl on Instagram was too fucking much.
Too far.
The concern that we have for other people and their bodies. The concern that men have.
It's all about control. It's all about... this is where I start to sound like a little kooky, but, like, it's all about a system of oppression.
I don't think that's kooky. You're talking to POCs and we're women.
Right? Like, there's all sorts of systems in place to keep non-white people oppressed, right? You know, all sorts of voter suppression, redlining, like, every horrible racist policy that exists in this country, right? There's all sorts of systems in place to keep gay people oppressed. There's all sorts of systems to keep women oppressed. All of the systems are in place to keep everybody except for straight white men oppressed.
Boom. By design.
And it's by design, right? It's on purpose. And they're freaking out right now, and all these laws are passing right now because... women are standing up, because gay people are standing up, because trans people are standing up.
They don't want us to, y'all.
Because black people are standing up, and they're scared because we're making a lot more progress than we ever have.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a ton of resources out there.
It's not.
There's a lot of
organizations.
Yeah, no. In this description.
I mean, I will put in a plug for our website, which is nirhealth.org. And if you're interested in, like, the local level laws that are being passed, what's going on at that level, it's a great place.
Well, girl, you the VP. We ain't got to ask for nobody else. We coming right
here. Yeah, you just call me. Jesus.
Right.
Danielle, I feel a cramp. Like, am I pregnant? I think I'm pregnant.
You will not be the first person to just call me and know that. I'm also everyone's aunt who, like, they're like, oh, hey, my kid needs to ask you a question. I'm like, all right.
Hey, auntie.
What's up?
That's how it goes.
And I'm like, okay, well, you remember when your mom was pregnant? Okay, let's start there. So we have a lot of information on the, like, local stuff that's happening. There's an organization called Bedsider that if you're trying to find the right contraception for you, they're an excellent resource.
Bedsider.
Laid out really nicely.
What are some other non-hormonal besides? I do the rhythm method. You use a diaphragm. Mm-hmm. What are some non-hormonal
condoms?
Any other ones that maybe are...
It's really, once you're doing non-hormonal, you're talking about physical barriers, right? Mm-hmm. So a diaphragm or a cervical cap, right, which are both things that go inside you, a non-hormonal IUD, or condoms and tracking.
Spermicides.
There are a ton of hormonal methods that work really well for people, but you do sometimes have to find the one that works for you.
Takes a little shopping around. Yeah.
The first pill that your doctor puts you on might not be the best one for your body.
Depo was not for me, honey.
Depo may not be for you. I hated being on the pill. I didn't like it. I can't keep up with pills. And that's why I stopped. Wait. Like, I didn't like taking a pill every day.
Same.
And I felt crazy. Yeah. And I didn't want to take the effort to go through finding
I'm
a pill
already
that
a crier.
Make me feel crazy.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. Last thing you
Not
need.
To mention, when I got the Depo, I remember coming back and like, hey, I gained weight. And he was like, yeah, the Depo didn't make you gain weight. Maybe your appetite went up. And I was like,
probably because of the Depo.
Believe it or not, you are not the first person who had that experience.
Like, it was such an asshole thing to say to me.
Well, remember there was the thing that came out where they had been working on hormonal birth control for men, but the side effects were just too much. And the side effects were like bloating and like achiness.
I remember that.
And I was like, only?
Try every month.
Right. Oh, no, you got a little bloated? Take the pill, man.
You know, if men could get pregnant, we all would not be sitting here right now. We would not be having this conversation.
No. And y'all motherfuckers need to go ahead. There's birth control for men, too. So if y'all are out here not wanting a baby, but y'all want to sit here and keep fucking bitches raw, there are...
Vasectomies are very easy procedures.
Oh, all the guys that I've talked to right now have them. I know. I'm talking to a lot of men who have vasectomies.
Vasectomy rates go up during whatever the basketball thing is.
Oh, well, that's what I was going to say. Basketball season, it's the college basketball thing.
March Madness.
Really?
Because they
guys
sit
get
and
vasectomies
heal,
during March Madness.
They time
then
it
they
to
have
that.
To take 3 days off and they can watch basketball.
Yo, it's true. Shut the hell up.
It's true.
Anyways, y'all.
When would be
scamming
good for us
the system.
Then?
It's true.
What?
When would be good for us then?
Literally any day that you get to sit at home.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, when's that?
I'm like, I don't need to watch basketball.
Go ahead and do it Labor Day weekend and Memorial weekend when you don't have to take a day off of work because they pay you, you know, during a long weekend.
That's where it's different because they're like, we have to take days off work for a vasectomy so we can watch March Madness. And you're like, I don't want to take my days.
Can I just insert one more little bit of outrage? If you want to get a tubal ligation as a woman,
which is getting your tubes tied.
Getting your tubes tied, it's really challenging. Like a lot of times if you're not a certain age
or haven't had children, they will pressure you
and like, do you know how many women I know who've had conversations with their doctor and they're like, I just don't feel right about it because you're still of childbearing
age.
So
my mom has her tubes tied. So that was a conversation I've had with her and she got it after my youngest sister. There's three of us and they still were trying to, even though she had, you know, kind of thoughts of even aborting the third one because of financial reasons, they still almost were like trying to tell her not to get her tubes.
She's like, I'm done. I think I would know.
Yeah. And three kids. She's like, no.
Meanwhile, her male partner, if they were to walk in, no problem, no questions asked. When do you need a schedule?
Which is what happened to Neo and Moneta, I believe, is his ex-wife.
Same issue.
She agreed to have the her tubes tied. Mm-hmm. And then he has a baby with someone else. So that's,
W. Kamau Bell just did a episode where he broadcast his vasectomy.
Yep.
This is how this is what I'm bringing to our relationship. Like, we're done having kids and she doesn't want to be on the pill anymore, so I'm going to get a vasectomy. And he, like, broadcast it.
But also, is something that, again, like abortion, needs to be a conversation. A friend of mine, her partner went and got a vasectomy without letting her know. Even those conversations, if you are in a relationship and your partner may or may not be complete with having children, that's also, again, another conversation that you need to have with your partner.
I mean, if you're in a relationship, you should be making contraceptive decisions with your partner.
Because you know what kids you can adopt. All those fucking crazies out there who are convincing us to keep them, forcing motherhood. You can adopt those kids if you change your mind.
So sure. I want to thank, once again, Danielle and Lacey for coming to the Horrible Decisions Podcast having this conversation. And we hope that all of you guys not only learned something, but got a couple laughs in there. It wasn't as funny, but, you know, we just trying to educate y'all. Again, we're sitting across the table from two professionals, and Weezy and I are taking in and learning every episode that we do with this podcast. So
that thing I was just shocked about? Oh, the pulsation.
Yeah. So we want to do your research, guys. There were a lot of good tips in here. And again, we're going to put the information not only in the description of this episode, but on our patron, on our Patreon. I do want to give a huge shout out as well to our patrons. As you guys know, for an additional $5 a month, up to $15, you guys can get 3 bonus episodes per month, and those are dropped. If you guys are all caught up with all 100 plus episodes, we are sitting in a vault of about another 40 almost. So check out our bonus episodes, become a Patreon. Because we are an 18 plus community, you do have to type in patreon.com/horrible decisions. And as always, we're going to leave you with a clip from one of our bonus episodes at the end of this episode. And we want to thank again, Lacey. We want to thank again, Danielle,
thank
for coming
you.
In,
thank
dropping
you.
Them knowledge
and
bombs.
Thanks for sharing your abortion story. Yeah.
Thank yes. you for all of that. And again,
with condoms, y'all. With condoms.
You know, we condoms. But once again, this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye. They identify as straight. Some of them even have wives. They have children. They have whole families.
They like to fuck niggas in the ass?
No, they don't like to fuck niggas in the ass. That's they like getting head from guys. And
it's
they don't,
the soldier culture
they don't,
forever, bro.
They don't look at oral sex as full sex with a man.
Vinny says it all the time.
They do.
He's like, dog, these niggas just want me to suck.
Head. They just want head from men. And I've met a lot of men that actually like that. And so it's like, but
I
they
think
won't
it's
identify.
A power trip.
They won't, 100% sure, but they won't identify as gay, questionable, bicurious. They're like, nah, nigga, I'm straight. But they like getting head from guys.
In the coldest winter ever.
Ooh. Like,
midnight.
She talks
about.
Midnight? Oh.
She talks about, I don't know if it was a guy speaking in the book, but about the jaws. He was like stronger. Like it's a,
they do have stronger. Yeah.
Yay, Winnie.
The next one.
N is non-binary. So you guys might hear this one a lot. It's a gender identity and experience that embraces a full universe of expressions and ways that of being that resonate for an individual. It might be an active resistance to binary gender expectations. And by the way, that sentence, an active resistance.
Right. What is that?
I say non-binary when I want to piss people off.
What is non-binary? Break that down.
So it means that you don't conform to any of them. It's gender non-conforming.
Like we just, oh, so we
so
just
I'm not
had
a man,
threesome.
I'm not a woman, I'm.
But it's not sexuality because so we just had a couple on.
No, it's your gender.
Oh, it's gender. Okay, because I was going to say we just had a couple on and we asked them their sexuality and they were like, well, they didn't want to say straight. They didn't want to say bi. They didn't want to say anything. They were just like, we just.
To me,
they didn't
would
even
want to
identify.
Queer. But
oh, okay.
I think they just didn't know how to identify. I don't think it's like more than.
But this is more so gender.
But gender. So we got to remember gender and sexual orientation are two different things. For example, Kris Jenner. I mean, no, not Kris Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner would be. A lesbian or queer. So lesbians are not female. Lesbian is woman attracted to woman.
But so here's my thing. Trans identify as women. So can you not say that Caitlyn Jenner is a lesbian?
Do you know the difference between women and female?
Yes.
So for those of you who are listening and you get a little confused, actually when Sam White came and he was like, when guys say females, he was like, oh, you tripping. Remember that?
I get it. I get it.
Female describes you by your genitalia, your gender that was assigned at birth. Women is how you identify. Like, I identify as a woman. So apparently, Caitlyn Jenner is lesbian.
But lesbian is women attracted to women.
Not female attracted to female. So, yeah. But I think it's queer because she's trans, but whatever. Whatever fuck you want to say. It's lat. What's the next one?
Okay, the next one is omnisexual. Okay, this is new. A person who is attracted to people from across the gender spectrum. I think this is what I am. Similar to pansexual, omnisexual people recognize potential partners' genders, are attracted to all genders, and make decisions about partners based on their gender. So maybe I'm omnisexual, bitch. I don't know.
I've said pansexual before, but I think it's a lie because when I look at women.
So, and that's the thing
with me. Pansexual people say they're like, oh, it just doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
Nah, I be looking at bitches for who they are.
Same. I ain't gonna hold you.
I always look at like hair, the nape of the neck, lips, like hips. Like I definitely
is
am.
Is there like, I don't think any of, oh, I guess there is one maybe. No. So like for me, when it comes to say all genders, like, cause I watch all types of porn. I watch gay, straight, and trans porn. But even when I watch trans porn, I'll be honest. And again, I'm sorry if I offend anyone, but when I watch trans porn, I want them to be super feminine looking, but with big old dicks. And I have a problem
so
because a lot of them don't have big old dicks.
What you want. So this isn't I didn't do pansexual or poly for this one because we discussed it with, Marzi Jane maybe, but anyway, passing is also gay slang. It's the act of being perceived by others as one's preferred
identity. Now, in Pose, did you watch Pose?
I meant to watch it. I know. So I they heard talk it's so a lot. Good.
There's a Electra who's in Pose makes comments to this other
girl. I followed
her. She's
you
like,
made me follow
she's
her.
Like, you're she's just nice. Mad because I'm passing and you're not. I can pass. I could go to Bergdorf and they're gonna wait on me. They won't do it for you. Like they were using that as like a.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Shout out to Jamie Paris who came on the show. Beautiful, bitch. And
she's
I
considered a quote unquote passing.
Passing, and that's.
What the fuck is
I
your problem?
I really have a problem with you right now. So I just feel like you're dramatic because this bitch really just pulled out her inhaler. We're not smoking weed.
This it's not about the air.
Is it because this room is enclosed?
No, I fucking went. I just need.
You're not in workout clothes. So what did you do that you just had to in your inhaler?
It's not always like I don't have to be doing something in the moment. Sometimes it could just be like backed up from later. I don't know, Mandy. I felt
you're
like I needed
so,
it.
I really.
All right.
We need this
to
video.
Whoever was listening to the show, wasn't I wheezing? I was starting to hear it.
I didn't hear it, bitch.
You don't have your headphones on.